It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk. My name is Audrey Stack, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. Our guest today is Dr. Scott Looper. Dr. Looper is a naturopathic doctor who practices at White Spruce Medical here in Fairbanks. Dr. Looper is also the regular host of this show, but today he is the guest because we're talking about what to do when your treatment doesn't work or works too well. Welcome, everyone, to Health Talk, and welcome, Dr. Looper.
Thanks, Audrey. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for hosting the show today. It's a delight not to have to be the host. I'm the guest. It's like fabulous.
What a change.
I feel so guesty.
So today we're talking about what happens when your treatment doesn't work. Now, what does that mean? Is that you tried something and it failed?
Could be. Or you tried something and it worked too well. Actually, I have a patient in mind, a case in mind, that's exactly what happened. It wasn't that the treatment didn't work. The treatment worked fine. It's just that the side effects of the treatment were such that it you couldn't tolerate it. Do you want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't use the same name, of course. We got to change the name. But this is a fellow by the name of Pete, and Pete's a retired miner. Pete moved to Fairbanks in 1972, and he drove up in a VW Bug. And Pete was the kind of guy that was really good with his hands, is actually. And when he was driving up the Alaska Highway, his Volkswagen broke down, and he went back and fixed it. I mean, he actually, you know, had some tools and some gum and some baling wire. And he got the dang thing running again and drove it the rest of the way into Fairbanks.
I think that's called MacGyvering.
Yeah, right. He's really a capable guy. Adorable is not the right word. He wouldn't like me to use that word on him, but he really is adorable. He's a big, warm-hearted, funny, practical, problem-solving kind of guy. He looks like, you know, like a worker dude, but he is smart. He is super smart. And what really makes him smart, here's the smartest thing he ever did, is he married his wife, Dana. He met her, long ago, back in the pipeline days, at a little bar called the Elbow Room. And the way he says it, he says, okay, she was a beautiful girl, but I could see she had some smarts. You know, basically he could see the intelligent woman behind the pretty girl, and they got married, and it was the best move he ever made. She's fabulous. I know this because she came in with him when they eventually found their way into my office to talk to me about their problem. But what happened? Before I say that, let me say exactly what happened. What happened was Pete retired. He's a smart guy, and he piled up a bunch of money and was really looking forward to retirement. And he went and got a insurance physical, and his blood pressure was 170 over 98.
So for those of us who don't know,
that's high.
What's normal?
Well, a classic normal is 120 over 80. And really anything over like 140 over 85, 90 is really high blood pressure. You know, there's this that kind of in between the 130 zone. I could say more about that because blood pressure, normal blood pressures tend to rise with age normally. I mean, like healthy blood pressures rise with age. But let's not go into that one. Just get the basic story. The basic story is Pete got high blood pressure. And the problem with high blood pressure is the higher it gets, the more your body has to fight against the pressure and the more you build muscle in your arteries. And so what that does is it fills up the inside of the artery a little bit with muscle, which makes it smaller, which makes the pressure go up, which makes the muscle get bigger, which makes it smaller, which makes the muscle go up. See, it's a positive feedback cycle. And what happens is eventually you're going to pop a gasket. Something's going to leak. Something's going to pop at some point. And what you're going to get, chances are, some sort of stroke, or your heart's going to clog up, or you're going to get a – it's wreck and ruin, bottom line.
This is life-threatening.
Life-threatening, without a doubt. We all know this. The evidence is perfectly clear that this needs to be treated. So Pete's not a stupid guy, neither is Dana. So they went to the doctor, and they went to a good doctor, and actually a good doctor, very sensible doctor, and she took his case well. She asked him about the appropriate things like headaches and his energy and his sleep. If your sleep is off, a lot of times it can contribute to having high blood pressure. She asked if he had a family history of high blood pressure, and he did. Both his parents had high blood pressure. You know, she asked him about other things too, background stuff, lifestyle stuff, like exercise and how much alcohol he drinks and how much he eats salt. And she also asked him about stress, because stress is really important with blood pressure sometimes. But in this case, it wasn't. He didn't have any stress. He has a happy pappy life. It was fabulous. He was retired. He was just putzing around, having fun. He's building a clubhouse for he and his buddies, you know, to hang out and play cards and
doesn't
games.
Doesn't sound very sick.
No, he was. It just had energy and I had all kinds of stuff. So anyways, so she did what was absolutely appropriate. She wrote him a script for an antihypertensive medication, and he's conscientious and he took it. And that's where the problem started. It wasn't that the medication didn't work. It worked fine. It worked too well. What ended up happening to Pete is he lost his energy. He started feeling tired. Instead of going out and working on the clubhouse, he just was sitting on the couch watching TV. And, I mean, there's a lot of problems that came with this. The other one that he was most upset about was the fact that he became impotent. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't function anymore.
Right.
So
now, is this just a random side effect, or is this?
No, it's a common side effect. If you do enough antihypertensive, it's pretty much what always happens. People get tired and they need blood flow. You know, to have your parts function, you need to have blood. Blood is what makes it all work. And what the antihypertensive did was it lowered his blood pressure. So he had less blood pressure. Now, it turns out what his actual problem, eventually he couldn't tolerate it. He talked to Dana. He said, Dana, I would rather be living in ignorant bliss of having high blood pressure rather than, you know, the living with the side effects of this medication, knowing that I'm going to live healthier and longer, except for, like, what kind of life is this? This sucks. I don't want to do this. Isn't there something else we could do? And Dana, being the astute person she did, brought him to me. And they both showed up in my office. And what I did is I asked a whole bunch of questions. And when I figured out what the problem was, and when I tell you this, it's going to be obvious in a way. What his actual problem was, he didn't have enough blood flow. That was his real problem. His blood flow wasn't adequate to his body's needs. The reason why his blood pressure went up is because it was the solution to the problem. The problem, he needed blood. The cells in his body didn't have enough blood. They didn't have enough oxygen. They didn't have the stuff they needed. So what they do is they yell up, hey, send us some more blood. Like that. With signals, right? It's chemicals. Right. They send these chemicals up. And the chemicals cause the blood pressure to increase. Now everybody's hunky-dory. Everything's, you know, fabulous. Except for now he's got high blood pressure. So the real trick of a case like Pete's is not to lower his blood pressure. It's to correct the underlying problem of inadequate blood flow. Now, in most cases of high blood pressure, it has to do with stress, but it didn't have anything to do with stress in his case. Really, what it turned out to be is, well, wait. I'm getting ahead of myself on this one. Let me go back to the thing. So what Pete and Dana showed up for, what they really wanted was, isn't there some kind of herb I can take? I don't want to do the drug thing. The drug's got too many side effects. Isn't there some kind of herb that will lower my blood pressure without having these side effects?
Well, but you just told us that the side effect is actually the effect.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I couldn't help but giggle a little and was like, the answer is yes and no. Yes, there are herbs that can lower your blood pressure. No, they're going to cause the same problem that lovely medication is.
Swapping out the natural thing, yeah. But it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. He's going to get the same problem. It's not going to be any better because it's not really addressing the underlying problem. The problem is he doesn't have enough blood flowing to his body. So the trick of this is figuring out why. That's what it is. So I ran a bunch of tests, like I always do, because if it's not broken, I can't fix it. I got to find stuff that's broken. Because if it ain't broken, again, I can't fix it. So I don't want just to push it down. What I want to do is cure it from the inside up. So we ran a bunch of tests, and really Pete was in great shape. He really had hardly anything wrong with him, really bottom line. But what happened was he was a little bit heavier. He used to be, you know, he was a hardworking man. And when he retired, he gained some weight. And it was just harder for his body to push the blood around. And he knew this already, but I've laid it out in black and white. I said, Pete, this is what you got to do. We got to get your blood flow up. So here's what I told him to do. Here's the actual thing I told him to do. I gave him some stuff, too, and I'll talk about that here in a minute. But the linchpin of his case was I said, Pete, I want you to get one of those little blood pressure cuffs. You know, the ones you poke the little button, and it pumps it up, and then it gives you a number. Like, well, you could do it at home. And I want you to take your blood pressure 3 times a day, and I want you to graph it. I want you to notice what your blood pressure is, and I want you to become very familiar with your blood pressure. And now what I want to do is I want to divide the world in 2 halves, stuff that brings your blood pressure up and stuff that brings it down. And what I want to do is I want you to do more of the stuff that brings it down. Now, the funny thing about this is the thing that brings it down the most, or did bring it down the most for Pete, was to bring it up. What? What does that mean?
That seems wrong.
No, it's actually true. It makes perfect sense when you think about it. Because if we could get Pete's blood pressure up, then his blood flow went up. And then with the increased blood flow, the call for blood went down, and so his blood pressure came down. So now the question is, how do you get blood pressure up? And for those of you who are astute listeners know where I'm going with this one. It turns out exercise.
I was gonna say push-ups. That would make my blood pressure go up.
So what I had Pete do is I started doing some exercise. Now, he wasn't an exercising kind of guy. He was always just walking around fixing stuff kind of guy. So he started doing walking. He did a walking exercise. I also put him on magnesium. Magnesium is a mineral that naturally relaxes blood vessels and allows blood to flow a little more easily. It's not that good as a blood pressure medication, but it kind of greases the skids and gets things moving along the right direction. The other thing I did with him is I put him on an herb that's famous for helping blood pressure, but not right away. It doesn't do anything the first day you take it. Literally nothing. It'll not lower your blood pressure one bit. But after a few weeks and months, your blood pressure start coming down naturally. And the name of that herb is hawthorn. Hawthorn is the name. Crataegus is the scientific name. That's what we call it at the clinic. But if you just look for the common name, it's hawthorn. And this is a tree that grows these little red berries. They're related to apples. They're in the same family as apples. But hawthorn has stuff in it that's really healing to your heart and your cardiovascular system. And your heart becomes more efficient, and your cardiovascular system becomes more efficient. Everything works better. And so everything runs better, so the call for blood isn't as much as it was before. So I put him on magnesium, I put him on hawthorn, and I had him start doing some walking. And initially, his blood pressure didn't come down. It stayed up. So he came back in and we checked it all. And it wasn't like, oh, we're a failure. It was more like, okay, good. We got a good start here. What next? What's the next thing we need to do? So what I did, I'm making the long story short, it was some more investigations, some ideas. We put our heads together. Dana was in on this thing as well. But what we decided to do was have Pete do sprints. Now, Pete had never sprinted in his life. It was the exact opposite of his natural inclination would. And I'm using sprints in air quotes here. You can't see it, but these are my air quotes. Because
I can see them.
Yeah, he wasn't actually sprinting. He wouldn't put on track shoes and go run sprints at the track. What he would do is he would go on his walks, and then he would pick a light pole a ways down, and he would walk as fast as he could, particularly uphill. And he would get going where he got out of breath. That's what he do. He would push it. And he did this 2 days a week for 10 minutes. It wasn't much. He was walking about a half hour, 40 minutes every day, 6 days a week. And then 2 days a week, he added in these mini sprints. Well, he'd do a sprint for like a minute, and then he would walk slower for about 30 seconds, and then sprint for a minute, and then walk slower for 30 seconds. He would do about 10 minutes of these like mini sprints, and that was the ticket. That's what cracked his case. His blood pressure came down to normal. His energy was good. He was feeling good. His weight started coming down. Not because he was on a strict diet. He was eating, you know, normal, healthy food. But getting his metabolism increased a little bit caused him to start burning fat from the inside without really having to work on it very much. The only thing I really had him do was eat lots of vegetables just because it's a good idea. And he had took vitamin D because he lives in Fairbanks and everybody has to take vitamin D in Fairbanks. I had him take fish oil as well because we all do better with fish oil. It's kind of standard stuff. And really, everything kind of came together in a way, and he just got healthier. And he was delighted. Dane was delighted. Everybody was delighted because what actually came of this treatment was his blood pressure came down because his blood started to flow better. It started getting to all the corners of his body, and his energy stayed up. He actually came out stronger for the treatment rather than weaker for the treatment. Now, there's some take-home messages that I want everybody to really get a good idea on. Here's the main one. He didn't just settle for second best. He didn't say, well, such is my lot in life. This medication sucks, but I have to take it. You know, this is as good as medicine has. No, he was a practical-minded guy. He didn't just accept whatever the standard was. He's a smart guy. And he knew there had to be some other way to do it. This way wasn't good enough. And he's going to work it. And it was to my delight that he and Dana showed up in my practice because they were nice people and into it and enthusiastic and funny. And so it was really a delight to work with them and to see this transformation go on. It's fun. It makes my job fabulous when these things come. But again, the take-home message, and hammer at home here, is don't settle for second best. Work the problem.
Yes, absolutely agree. All right. It is time for a break, and we'll be back with more Health Talk.
Now, don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more Health Talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Welcome back to Health Talk on KFAR. I'm your host, Audrey Stack, and I'm here today with Dr. Scott Looper. We're talking about what to do when your treatment doesn't work. Dr. Looper just told us a story of a patient, Pete, who decreased his blood pressure by doing simple things to change his life. Next, let's go through more examples.
Okay, I got another example. I got a patient who came to see me. Actually, her son brought her to see me. And I've seen this patient, this kind of patient a lot. This is a common story. I'll talk about one patient in particular, but really there's probably a dozen people that have the same story. And the story is this. She's 85 and her memory's going. And she's tired and she's just not doing well.
So 85-year-olds with poor memory are pretty easy to find.
Yeah. And the story goes like this. It ain't easy to get old, right?
Right.
You got to adjust, right?
A little bit more tired, don't walk so well, pretty common.
Yep. And this is the same story as Pete in the sense that, you know, she had done a bunch of stuff medically, and it was successful. She had ovarian cancer. And she had got it treated about 4 years ago.
So ovarian cancer, I don't know much about, but it doesn't sound like any fun.
No. It's a serious cancer. Really, the survivability of it runs, I don't know, between 20 and 30%, depending on where you're at on it.
I don't want to be on that side of those odds.
Seriously, the odds are bad. The odds really are bad. And she beat the odds. She went and she got treatment, and the treatment worked, and she survived. She was actually a survivor, beat the odds. She's fabulous, except for she was never the same having got that treatment. And the standard, you know, thought is, well, you know, you're good to luck to be alive, and you're 85. I mean, how much better do you want it to be? You just gotta get used to it. And she was not that person, and her son was likewise was not that person. Her son knew me. And knew that, you know, he wanted to take care of his mom. So she ended up moving up from Anchorage, brought her in to see me. And so what I did was I always do. And here's the standard thing. No matter what age you are, what the situation is, what we do is we look for things that are broken. If it ain't broken, we can't fix it. But if it is broken, we can fix it. So I asked a whole bunch of questions, very thorough. I spent an hour going through her case, and it was about as much as she could take, honestly, in terms of the questions I was asking. You had to rack her brain to figure out the answers to all this stuff. But I try
and
to be.
And you said her memory wasn't
so
good.
And I try to be gentle as I can, but I have to be thorough. So I asked a whole bunch of questions, and at the end of our time together, I had a pretty good sense of what kind of tests to order to figure out what was going on with her. And to make a long story short, what we ended up discovering was her kidneys were not functioning well. Her kidneys were actually, the test will give us a number, percent kidney function, and she had about a quarter of her kidney working. Overall, it wasn't just only one little piece of the kidney was working, the rest wasn't, but it's like spread around over. Her kidney function was about 25%. The other thing that was off on her was her B12 was low, and B12 is a necessary vitamin, and in her case, the key thing is that it's associated with dementia. So, and what causes B12 to go low is stomach function goes low. There's a thing called intrinsic factor that the stomach makes, and if it doesn't make it, then you can't absorb B12, and so your B12 goes low, and you kind of...
So you can take as much B12 as you can handle it.
And it doesn't work. Yeah, you don't absorb it. So really, the trick of this is getting the stomach to be healthy. So that was another problem that we found. Another one was her white blood cell count showed that she had a chronic viral infection. It was kind of low grade. It wasn't really wrecking her, but it was in a way. It was just kind of...
So is this a virus that maybe wouldn't hurt somebody else? But
no, it was a lot of times people get over viruses. They get viruses and they just get sick and they get over it. And occasionally people get viruses and then it stays and lingers and continues to cause problems. This is like COVID. You know, most people get COVID, they get sick and then they get better and they're done with it. Some people get what's known as long hauler's disease or post-COVID syndrome, where they never really recover from COVID, or they recover and then 2-3 months later they're sick again. She was one of those. Now it wasn't COVID, but it was another virus is what she had. So, and then the other thing, the key thing in her case was her blood pressure was low. Her blood pressure was 100/56. Now what her blood pressure should have been at 85, optimal blood pressure should have been around 135/85. That would have been like a perfect blood pressure for her. So her blood pressure was running really low. And not only that, when she went from sitting to standing, because that's one of the things we check in our clinic, her blood pressure should have gone up 10 points, and it didn't. It went down 10 points. If it would have stayed the same, it would have caught my attention. I would have said, hey, we got to treat this. And even more so, it went down 10 points. You know what? Of all the things that were going on, that was her problem.
So would that make you lightheaded, stand
yes.
up, sit down?
Absolutely. Makes you lightheaded, makes you wobbly, makes you unsteady, makes your brain not work. Your brain is literally short of blood. This is mechanical because when you stand up, your body's got to shoot blood up at your brain. If there's not enough blood in your brain doesn't work right. If it's bad enough, you'll just keel over and fall. You'll faint.
You'll faint, yeah.
Yeah, you'll faint. And even if it's not that bad, still doesn't do your brain any good. And not only that, it makes it hard to get up and walk around and do stuff. It makes it hard to stand in front of the stove and cook food because you get lightheaded. You can't hardly stand up. You either got to sit down or you got to squat to be able to function. And again, this is just she's starting to fall apart is really what it amounts to. So what we ended up doing was doing a little happy dance when the test results came back. Normally, you go to the doctor and want the test results to be good. No, I told her that. Yeah. I said, no, no.
This is not an insurance physical.
No, we want the test results to be bad. We want to find things that are broken. And if we can find them broken, then we can fix them. So what we ended up doing with her, and I won't go into too much detail of the exact stuff, but let me just give you the big picture on it. Well, first of all, we treated her low blood pressure. It was being caused by her adrenals being low. Adrenals are stress glands. And her stress glands had been stressed. Going through cancer treatment, wrecked her. Seriously, that's what wrecked her. The cancer treatment itself, of course, we knew that. And it really damaged her stress glands. So what we ended up doing is putting her on some herbs and some adrenal support stuff. And it worked fabulously. The next time I saw her blood pressure was up 30 points. Her energy was back. It was like they were singing praises.
Clear her head.
And she felt so much better when the adrenals started kicking in. Part of the reasons adrenals went bad is that when she was sick, they put her on a thing called dexamethasone. It's an anti-inflammatory that helps mitigate some of the side effects of the chemo. It's a good idea. It's not a bad idea. No doctors did anything wrong here. I want to be perfectly clear about that. Her treatment was stellar. Was fabulous. It just so happens that it has these natural side effects. And sometimes it's stronger in some people, and that's why she was one of those people. So the dexamethasone just wrecked her. And not only that, but dexamethasone affects people's memory. The way memory works is there's a switching station in your brain called the hippocampus that takes short-term memory and turns it into long-term memory. That hippocampus is exquisitely sensitive to stress hormones. Stress hormones cause our memory to work better in some ways and worse in some ways. Things that are important, we remember very well. Things that are not important, like the name of your third grade teacher, it goes. Your brain simply cuts those neurons out, literally kills them, and the neuron concentration decreases under the stress, under the influence of these stress chemicals. And so her memory was going basically because of low blood flow and also too many stress chemicals in the past. So what we ended up doing was improving her blood flow. We did a bunch of other stuff with her as well, common sense kind of things, vitamin D. We dealt with the fish oil. We dealt with the kidney function by having her take fish oil and lipoic acid. And I can tell you all the reasons why, but we don't have enough time to go into it. But there's some chemistry involved in this. So her kidney function improved. Her blood circulation improved. And it wouldn't be one of my patients if I didn't talk about the fact that we had her walk. But she was wobbly. That was the problem. She was willing to walk. She liked walking, except for she couldn't. So what we did is we got her doing better with the stuff, the adrenal support being the key one. Also, I had her buy some hiking poles, and she liked them. They made her feel stable. She had a pole in one hand and a pole in the other hand. She went from being a biped to a quadruped. She had 4 feet on the ground.
So it's not a walker. It's not a cane.
No, no, no. It's hiking poles. They're light. They're strong. You can adjust them to be the perfect height so it makes it easy to walk. And she went over to Big Ray's and she got a pair of nice warm boots.
Very good.
Really, it helped. Those boots gave her confidence. They gripped the ground really well, and her hiking poles made her feel better. And so she bundled up, went outside, and was doing, you know, half-hour walks every day. She didn't start at a half hour. She started at 10 minutes. But it wasn't more than, you know, 10 days into it, she was up to a half hour because she started feeling better. Everything came together. Now, again, the details of the story are going to vary from patient to patient. But the thing that's common between Pete, the retired miner, and Dorothy, the cancer survivor, was they didn't settle for second best. They said, no, this isn't right. I want to feel better. I had a 97-year-old lady show up in my practice and who was mostly deaf. She yelled everything at me really loud. And she said, I'm 97. I'm tired. I thought, well, you're 97. You're tired. And she'd been to three doctors, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. But she said, something's wrong with me. It's not age.
It's not age. When you know, you know.
And I said, okay. So I ran a bunch of tests, couldn't find anything wrong. So I ran a bunch more tests, couldn't find anything wrong. A month into it, I kid you not, a month into it, we discovered that she had high mercury.
Ooh.
So we treated the mercury. She had no teeth, by the way, so I don't know where the mercury was coming from. But she had it. So we treated the mercury, and her energy came back.
Nice.
I ended up treating everybody in her family because of this story, because they all thought, wow, this is incredible. We want a piece of that. Seriously.
Yeah, if they could have mercury too, geez.
So anyways, the key thing here is what I want you guys to do, the listeners, is if you have problems, work it. Really put your energy into working it. Don't settle for second best. Have that, you know, the attitude of stubbornness and investigate the problem and get to the cause. Just because somebody hasn't found it, even if they're good doctors, I mean, doctors, they do the best they can, but sometimes they just don't have the knowledge or the experience
or
of
the
working it.
Specialty. A cancer doctor might not treat a lingering infection.
Exactly. So that's what my recommendation is.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Looper. This has been Health Talk. Thank you for allowing me to host today, or guest host today.
Oh, it was a delight. I want you to do this again. I love being a guest.
Right. We can get your stories. So stay tuned to KFAR for Mike Hajdukovic's Trax Outdoor Show following Health Talk. This has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Audrey Stack, Clinic Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. We provide holistic internal care. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.